Historically, asparagus is pure sex food, writes Rebecca Rudd in her collection of delightful, curious but true stories about vegetables called How Carrots Won the Trojan War. Its renown as an aphrodisiac dates to antiquity and is derived from the undeniably penile shape of the emerging stalks, she writes, which pop suggestively out of the ground in early spring, just as a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of love. Pliny the Elder, in his formidable 37-volume Natural History, written in 1st century CE, cites asparagus as a sex booster, as does the nearly legendary 2nd century Sanskrit sex manual, the Kama Sutra. In Western Europe, asparagus was touted among the remedies for the low-libido Renaissance man, along with prunes, garlic, nettle seed in wine, and dried fox testicles. In 19th century France, bridegrooms were fed 3 courses of asparagus in anticipation of their wedding nights, and the salacious stalks were banned from the menu in girls' schools for fear of inflaming the imaginations of susceptible teens. Despite, or perhaps because of, its propensity for provoking unbridled lust, people have been cooking asparagus at least since the time of the ancient Greeks and Romans. Ripe and ready for the pot, asparagus is pictured in murals on the walls of Pompeii, and Plutarch describes Julius Caesar feasting on asparagus in northern Italy, though somewhat unhappily, since his host had drenched the spears in myrrh instead of olive oil. As well as a vegetable Viagra, asparagus was touted as a specific for everything from congestive heart failure to kidney stones, Rebecca Rudd writes. According to Pliny, asparagus sharpened the eyesight and alleviated elephantiasis. It was also a preventive for pains in the chest and spine, a remedy for diseases of the intestines, a cure for jaundice, and the stings of serpents. And, Pliny reports solemnly, it is said that if a person is rubbed with asparagus beaten up in oil, he will never be stung by bees. The sad truth is that asparagus medically isn't good for anything much, though recent research from Korea's Cheju National University School of Medicine indicates that it may ease the miseries of hangovers. Asparagus extracts were found to increase the activity of crucial enzymes in the liver and expedite the metabolism of alcohol, suggesting that a hefty meal of asparagus should precede a binge at the neighborhood bar. Rebecca Rudd thinks the only real problem with asparagus is planting it. The planting instructions begin, "Dig a trench," she writes. Experts disagree as to the precise size of trench. Some recommend a relatively feasible 6-inch deep furrow. Others demand an excavation a foot deep and a foot and a half wide. And Martha Washington's Book of Cookery directs hopeful asparagus growers to, quote, "dig ye earth out a yard deep and fill up ye place again with old cow's dung," unquote. Still, a trench is a trench, and trench, face it, smacks of heavy labor, misery, mud, and World War I. Dig a trench is the dark side of gardening, the stuff of blood, sweat, back sprains, and blisters. That said, once you've dug your asparagus trench, you won't have to do it again for a good long time. Unlike most denizens of the vegetable garden, asparagus is a perennial, and the average asparagus bed, once established, will continue to produce asparagus spears for 20 to 30 years. Even better, asparagus isn't particularly picky. It adapts cheerfully to a wide range of circumstances and soils, and could even thrive, NASA scientists tell us, in the chilly red dirt of Mars. A sample of Martian soil, pinched up in 2010 by the robotic arm of the Phoenix Mars lander, was found to be mildly alkaline, with traces of magnesium, sodium, and potassium. Potentially fertile ground for diehards like asparagus and turnips, though future Martians might not be able to grow strawberries. The bottom line is that asparagus is one tough cookie. Beds can be started from seed, a long-term proposition, but a better bet is from crowns, which are the base and roots of 1 to 2-year-old plants. Even so, You won't have harvestable asparagus spears for at least 3 years, so be prepared. I'm sensitive to this, Rudd continues, having moved multiple times and left behind a cross-country trail of immature asparagus beds. In fact, I've become as suspicious of asparagus. Plant it and you'll move has been our rule to date, and we're awfully fond of where we're living now. Still, it's such a scrumptious vegetable that I hate to pass it up. And easy, too, once you get past the trench. The most environmentally friendly local eating undeniably comes from one's own backyard, she writes, which is why this season I'm going to dig an asparagus trench. Last summer, thanks to Pinterest, I discovered a simple and fabulous dish that uses fresh asparagus, fresh sage, and baby English peas. It serves four generously and takes a total of 35 minutes to prepare. Totally my kind of a recipe. This dish is the essence of early summer here in northern Utah, where asparagus is still in season and peas are just beginning. So delicious, too. You'll be able to find the recipe on the Zesty Gardens corner of the Utah Public Radio website tomorrow. Here it is. Penne with asparagus, sage, and peas. Here are the ingredients you need. 1/2 pound of penne pasta, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 3 garlic cloves minced, 1 pound of thick asparagus cut into 1-inch lengths, 2 cups of chicken stock, 2 cups of shelled fresh peas, or a 10-ounce package of frozen baby peas thawed out, 1/4 cup of heavy cream, 2 tablespoons of butter, 1 tablespoon of chopped fresh sage, and 1/2 cup of freshly grated Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese. Then salt and freshly ground pepper to taste. Here's what you do. Bring a large pot of salted water to a boil. Add the penne and cook until it's al dente. Drain. Meanwhile, in a large skillet, heat the olive oil. Add the garlic and asparagus and cook it over moderately low heat, stirring occasionally until the garlic is fragrant, or about 3 minutes. Add the chicken stock and boil over high heat until you've reduced it by half and the asparagus pieces are tender. That takes about 5 minutes. Now add the peas and cream to the skillet and boil over high heat until the sauce is thickened, another 3 minutes. Stir in the penne and cook until it's heated through. Remove it from the heat, stir in the butter, sage, and grated cheese. Season it up with salt and pepper. Transfer this wonderfulness to bowls and serve it right away, passing additional grated cheese at the table if you'd like. Bon appetit! Until next time, I'm Nancy Williams for the Zesty Garden.